You are tuned to KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, Washington. This is Brewocracy Now, our weekly talk with Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Tim. Everybody listening, good to see you again.
Yeah, well, good to be here. And no shortage of topics as usual. And, you know, there's always those big issues that are dealt with in city government, not just in Port Townsend, but any city government, I think. And we know what those are, especially here on the West Coast. But there are also plenty of, I don't want to call them smaller issues, but they are issues nonetheless, issues of concern to people. And I think you probably know where I'm going with this. Just gleaning from the latest newspaper about poplars. Let me just leave it at that. Poplars. There are between poplars.
Well, it seems to be a popular topic. Sorry to be cheesy about it, but yeah, obviously, sort of. Anybody who reads the Leader will see that front and center. And I think the article starts with chainsaws, so it's a real attention grabber. But look, I think I won't lie. I've received a few emails this morning about that. So great opportunity to talk to the community about at least where things stand right now. And where they stand is there haven't been decisions or anything made here, but we've got an issue on our hands. And the issue is that those beautiful poplars on Sims Way, which provides such a visual gateway into town, turn a nice golden color in just another week or two. They're a problem as well as an asset. This was highlighted to us by the Port and the PUD because, you know, there's a transmission line that kind of goes right through those poplars. It's occasionally sparks. Combine that with a pretty dry summer so far. We had some pretty quick conversations about what that looks like. I'll cut that story short and say, the poplars themselves, I mean, we don't plant Lombardy poplars anymore. And there's lots of good reasons for that a tree expert can tell you, but frankly, it's the wrong tree in the wrong place. They calve off branches. They put out suckers. They're not really, something that we would plant now. So for a long time, the city's had in our plans, if you go back to the early 90s, there have been discussions about and in our planning documents, how we replace those poplars with something more appropriate for the site. So literally sparked by a more emergent need, we had these great conversations so far with the Port and the PUD about how we can work together to convert this problem and possible loss into a win. Huge kudos to the Parks, Recreation, Tree and Trails Advisory Board for getting involved. We've given them a briefing, we've given council a briefing, but the real opportunity here is, what does that gateway look like? And can we create a collective multi-agency win by thinking about how we do a number of things at the same time? Like I said, no decision made on this yet. We'll want to engage the community on the vision as agencies. But we've got about 60 mature poplars on the, I guess, sort of southish or southeastish side of Sims. About 70 actually on the north side, on the Katai side. If we undergrounded that power line, which the PUD is proposing that they could do, doing so would require a loss of those poplars on the south side. You couldn't underground a high transmission line and not lose those trees, given how trees work. So that's something that would be explored alongside what if we looked at a multi-use path on that side? And from the port's perspective, what if we looked at better utilization of that space for the boatyard and how that could be expanded? And furthermore, how we could plant trees and create a pedestrian environment along both sides that actually is attractive. So it's early days. Anybody who wants to see where we are at this point, I would encourage you to go to a presentation that was given to the Infrastructure and Development Committee on, I believe it was September 1st on this one. And right now we're bringing something to council soon because we're trying to apply for some money. We want to apply for an infrastructure grant alongside the port and the PUD to drive down the cost of this and to be able to do it together. I will dispel the myth that it's a $2 million city project. Had some nice correspondence with folks this morning about that. It's not a $2 million city project. It's likely to be a $2 million project, but split, you know, at least three ways plus a possible grant, you know, the city responsibility for that will not be in the six or seven, in the seven digits. So I think, you know, there's a lot yet to learn, but I think it's an exciting opportunity to take something which seems like a hot potato and work together to turn it into a win.
Well, this particular hot potato is not a new hot potato. This the issue of the poplars has been going on for quite a while. Yeah. But like COVID and issues at the PDA, they waited for you to become a city manager. And,
you know, thanks, Tim. That's like, do I hit that softball or not? I mean,
there's always deer, Mr. Morrow. So I won't even go there with that.
That's not good. Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that. I mean, I think I also want to have a little heart for those who have stewarded us to this point. I mean, we are a community that is not in a disaster, and I think there are a lot of communities who are facing a real falling down of some of the fundamentals. And luckily we're not in that category. Do we have some deferred maintenance to catch up on? You bet. Do we have some decisions that I question that were made decades ago? Absolutely. You know, we are trying to play catch up a little bit, but we're not, I feel grateful that, you know, we've had great leadership in the community and our elected officials, and, you know, we're not in absolute dire circumstances, depending on your perspective. Some would say, you know, it's unconscionable that we have roads that look like the way they look. Some would say that's a benefit of living in a community where you just have to drive slow. So I think, you know, it's a perspective question, but, you know, we're playing catch up for a number of things.
Well, along those same lines, let's explore that a little bit. Since I've been in Port Townsend, it's been a constant, and this is nothing new. Not that I've been here forever, I have not, but in the time I have been here, businesses come, businesses go, restaurants open, restaurants go away, and before you know it, there's a new shingle hung out on that business. These have been challenging times with COVID, and as you may have said, I mean, my perspective is that many of the, especially the hospitality businesses, have weathered quite well, considering the challenges that we have faced. In one area, though, it does seem, and I don't know if you have any thoughts on this, and I may be off base on this, but the, I guess you would call it the north side of Upper Sims Way, seems to have an inordinate number of closures. There are a number of empty businesses there. Any thoughts about that?
I mean, honestly, the first thing that comes to mind is I get all range of comments and questions and orders. And just to give you a sense, I mean, you know, I got this voicemail. I was, you know, respectful, but it said essentially, city, you need to get big box stores in here right now, you know, and listed a number of very well-known household name industry, you know, fast food joints and retail that kind of define other communities, or maybe better put, don't define any community. They're just part of every community, and it could be anywhere. You know, I think, could we bring immediately business into town and fill some spots? Like, I think we probably could. I think, you know, I want to be careful about this, though. First, the city has really very limited power on how we bring a, you know, fast food, you know, we have ordinances, obviously, we have some requirements, but, you know, market-based business decisions are not something the city has any real purview into. So I think the same thing with things like economic development and housing. Sure, we can enable both of those very well, and we should. Those are two things right front and center in our strategic plan. But at some point, you know, the private sector takes control and makes decisions about where they're going to make the most money or have the most benefit. And that's pretty much out of our hands. So, you know, I can I just think there's so many conversations in our community that I'm not trying to, you know, pass the buck here. I mean, the city plays a front and center role in most of these things. But to a lot of folks, it seems like the city's the only player in the determination of our housing future or economic future. And frankly, that's not true.
Well,
so yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. And you know, I think isn't made obvious to a lot of people. My personal opinion is that big box stores are available elsewhere. I have found the city of Port Townsend, and not the city, it's the entrepreneurial spirit that is in this city, has provided so many fast food options, just homegrown, they pop up. I think of Lila's Kitchen and that model out there that has produced a lot of benefit for this city in a small scale that has worked quite well here.
Bank off that, Tim, I mean, I think that's what, you know, a callous response of mine to that particular statement or inquiry to the city would be like, well, hold on a second. We actually do have some pretty amazing, at least on the restaurant scene, some incredible opportunities here run by a lot of family owned, you know, local Port Townsend residents who, you know, that dollar doesn't go to some fat cat in a different city or country. That stays here locally in lots of different ways as we employ local people and, you know, buy from local vendors and that kind of thing. So I think, I mean, in a way, I think that's a sustainable local economic development model, which Port Townsend does have an ability, I think, to counter, you know, what seems to be a national or beyond international global approach, which the structure is set up differently. You know, the structure is set up as kind of extraction and move on and endless opportunity, supply chain, and, you know, what matters is the bottom line. And I'm not saying I'm necessarily opposed to rational economic decisions, but if you're not talking about community well-being and local benefit and circulating that benefit locally, I think we've kind of missed something. And I do feel that vibe from, you know, that's partly why I'm here, is I think that's a widely shared belief that local economy matters, local businesses matter, local people matter. And we're not here primarily to just make money. We're here to provide local economic well-being and community well-being.
Well said. Thank you. Moving on to a bit of good news that just happened to float into my Facebook feed from the city of Port Townsend. And this may be a small thing, and it definitely is, but it's been on people's mind. The light pole. We have a light pole, right?
That one was for you, Tim. Yeah, so that stop sign that everyone they love so much, they send me emails all the time. We're finally, it's a pretty unique design, that stop light. And so it's taken speaking of supply chains, it's just taken a long time for us to get that back after it was backed over and we had to put a stop sign up. So, we got the part in. We're doing our best to get that up as soon as we can. So I know, Tim, I think you asked me that question not too long ago, and I think I didn't give a very satisfactory answer.
No, you gave the answer that I expected. And none of us are immune to the supply chain issues. Anybody that's worked on their car, I include myself in that group, realizes that something is broken in the supply chain and things take longer now. They take a bit more patience.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, I mean, luckily, I think if I had to, by number of people inquiring about that and in their position, most people seem to think that stop light coming back is a good thing. That'll likely happen soon. So thank you for your patience.
Most people. So there is a contingent that would prefer the stop sign then. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, I come at this from a slightly biased perspective because I sometimes cruise into town quite early in the morning or cruise out late at night. And oftentimes I'm on two wheels. And because of the change in the state law, I think a couple Octobers ago or maybe about a year ago for the Idaho stop, you know, those on bikes, if there's no one at the stop sign, don't need to come to a complete stop. I mean, that's just a change in state law. So, you know, from a two-wheeled or two-footed perspective, you know, it kind of neutralizes the need to wait. Because sometimes, you know, sometimes I go for a run downtown at 5 in the morning, 5:30, and, you know, I come to a stoplight and I just have this instinct to say, well, there's literally nobody awake right now. but I can't blow through this thing. I have to abide by the law, even as nonsensical as it might be. So there's a little bit more flexibility with a stop sign there that you don't have with a stoplight.
Oh, you running through a red light would instantly be on Facebook and so on. But it would be funny, actually. Funny from a certain perspective. But onto other issues. Although, before we move away from that, because it's a small issue, but however, I do think if there were a greater knowledge on how four-way stops work,
right,
four-way stops would be a much more viable option. I'm trying to avoid them now because it's I think that there's a lack of maybe it's just politeness, and maybe it's just a lack of knowledge of how it works. I don't know.
Yeah. So, I mean, I go back to, I think, you know, it was at least 30 or probably more actually. Yeah. More than 30 years ago where I was doing driver's ed, you know, and I seem to recall that you come, don't quote me on this, but you come to a four-way stop. You're meant to stop. You're meant to go based on who got there first, you know? So, I mean, basics, but, you know, courtesy, I mean, everyone possibly thinks they're the most important thing on the road when they're trying to get to where they go. I get it, but, a little courtesy on the road, certainly helps.
Yes, it would. On to another subject, and I don't know if there's been any movement on this, but it was on my mind recently, the Salary Commission. Are there findings? Yes. Is there anything to share on that front?
No, that's great. Yeah, so those who are just picking up on this, there was a Salary Commission appointed by council not too long ago. There are some stalwart community volunteers who, you know, who are well known and were appointed to that commission. They make a binding decision on what council compensation is. It hasn't been adjusted since 2007. I get the sense that the role's gotten more challenging, but that's just my own, you know, subjective assessment not being here. But certainly council members do a whole lot of work for a whole small amount of pay. They get $6,000 a year, and they do spend quite a number of hours every week. So, you know, we were asked to appoint bring together this proposal. The council appointed the commission. They have limited time from now till probably November to make a recommendation on compensation. So they've had a couple meetings. They probably got a few more to go. The last one, they interviewed four city council members. They have a number of questions. They're asking each city council member about things like, you know, how many hours you dedicate to the role in preparation every week. And they're taking all that information in, having some robust discussions. And they'll be making a recommendation, I anticipate, sometime in November. And like I said, it's binding. You know, if they decide they need less compensation, then we'll put that in the budget. If they decide they need more, we'll do the same. I hesitate to make to quip about my own personal perspective on this one. But I will say the motivation for this was to ensure that there are as few barriers as possible to those in our community who want to serve in public office. And I certainly agree with that. I think, you know, having people of a wide diversity of backgrounds, economically, socially, you know, gender, race, and ethnicity is strong and is actually part of what makes a strong community. So we want to remove, if we can, some of those barriers. In my personal perspective, are we going to suddenly, you know, massively increase pay? I mean, that's up to the commission, but I don't think that's necessarily what they're aiming for. I think they're just looking for how do we balance a reasonable, you know, compensation for the time and the energy that the council puts into their work.
And when do you expect a report or findings from that commission?
Yeah, I think we're looking at probably November. They've got a limited timeline to do that, but I think that's probably what they're aiming for. So I think we'll have a lot of conversations through October, and I anticipate sort of early to mid October, November. Sorry, that we'll have some findings there. I think they have a little bit longer than that. I think maybe through the end of November. They have a limited duration that they're allowed to do this, so they're racing as fast as they can.
Well, thank you. We have a few minutes left, and this is probably a difficult question. Subject to broach at this time. Sure. Port Townsend is no stranger to protests, demonstrations, peaceful demonstrations, on the street from all different outlooks and ideologies. We recently had a small protest outside of the high school. And, you know, the question that came to my mind is these protests, whether big or small, what is the city's involvement? Is there a permitting process that's required before these types of demonstrations are held?
Yeah, if there's a use of public space, you know, we'll assess this. Our police department will assess, you know, especially if there's a closure of a street or disruption of the flow of traffic or pedestrians and bikes. So I think, you know, there is a trigger for that. And we there is a form you can go and you can apply for, you know, a street use permit and for, you know, anything you want to do in the public domain. There's fewer direct city hooks into protests that happen not on in the city right away. And I have yet to understand that the app, I'll just admit, I've only heard recently about this recent protest. And so my information is relatively spotty. From what I was told, it was just, you know, very tactfully right outside of the actual school grounds. Because I can imagine a protest on school grounds during school hours would be a huge no-no. And I'm not certain exactly where it was held or who was there or what the actual motivation was. So I can't really comment on the details. I can say, though, that the information that was passed to me, you know, free speech is important to our country. And, you know, there's no way that we'd ever want to get in the way of people's ability to express their perspectives on anything. But I do think, from what little I know, if there was an intention to aggressively go bring this to the public school domain, that creates something in my stomach that is like a real visceral response that seems very inappropriate, no matter what the issue. To if there was an intent to antagonize, particularly young people around an issue that, again, I'll come up to speed on what we know about this, but I have a bad taste in my mouth about that.
No, I understand that. and I won't go any further down that road. And we'll just see what percolates here in the future. My curiosity was how that process works in Port Townsend, because like you, I am a total proponent of free speech. However, there is a certain, there's a rule book that we all follow, and like to see
and that's, you know. It's also kind of like what's the intent here, and maybe I'm going overboard here, but like, you know, fostering public dialogue on a complicated topic or expressing opinions or showing support, I mean, yeah, you know, that's something I've done myself on my own time here in Port Townsend, you know, creating discord and, you know, antagonization and aggression. And I mean, I just feel like us as a community, it's pretty clear that that's not what we stand for. You know, we don't stand for ripping open an issue and creating discord. You know, now's a time in our history where more than ever, we need to come together. So I'm just hoping when people plan to exercise their free speech or to, you know, that they're thinking about the big picture, about how we come together and get through difficult issues instead of how we create disharmony. We don't need any more of that right now.
No, I'm with you there. You know, we've had a change on how we contact, how you send your questions into Brewocracy now, and they'll now be sent directly to John Morrow's overflowing email box. I actually have no idea if your email box is overflowing, but that is where they will go in the future. And I think it'll be an efficient way to get your questions answered and is a positive in many ways. So can you speak a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I guess I want to make sure there's not a double handling here with us and KPTZ. And frankly, I don't want to miss anything. And I want to include everything in the public record. So anybody, I mean, look, Tim, you're right. I mean, sometimes I do get 500 emails a day. And so it's, I'm sort of still clawing back from when I was away for a few weeks. So apologies to those I've yet to respond to. But, you know, I think it's just best that I see everything. And then I can incorporate that. And obviously, I'll bring Tim up to speed as co-host here before our show. But you could send your direct questions, comments, whatever it might be for this show to my work email directly. And that'll literally go to me. It's JMAURO at cityofpt.us. So feel free, fire away, ask questions. If you want it specifically to be something that's a subject of bureaucracy now, please indicate that, because then we can actually just talk about it.
And perhaps it would be a good idea, it works for me, to in the subject line say brew now.
Because
that way it may stand out from an email about a pothole or whatever the case may be in Mr. Morrow's email box. So a change, right. And keep the questions coming, because this is a unique opportunity to do in real time what and get your questions answered about all things Port Townsend.
Yeah. And I guess I love that. I can't wait to get back into actual having real coffee with people. So I think this has been such a great surrogate to that. I also wanted to just reflect on the last piece about the public, about the special events. The two things. One, a lot of things you might need to know, you can find on our website. And that's simply cityofpt.us. One of those things is special events. So if you want to go deeper into what I just said about what's required on public property and a public right of way, we consider that a special event. That's something you can apply for literally on our website. Likewise, as Tim just said about potholes, if you want to report a pothole, or if you want to report a dead deer or anything, there is a literally on our homepage, you can go to cityofpt.us and there's a report a concern button. I read every single one of those every month. My team has a way of having them come in and then allocating who needs to, progress through and get them done. We obviously can't do all of them all at once. Whether it be low water pressure or vegetation mowing or tree down or water issue, that's the great first stop for you to report something, and we'll be on it. So again, that's cityofpt.us. And at the very bottom, you could say, you could click the report a concern button.
Report a concern. I like that. Well, thank you, John Morrow. And until next week, thank you for being on Bureaucracy Now, and we'll do it all again next week.
Sounds great, Tim. Great to see you. Have a great sunny day, and buckle down this weekend. It's going to be wet and wild.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm hearing more and more about that. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
All right. You have been tuned into Bureaucracy Now on KPTZ in Port Townsend. Remember, you can send your questions directly to John Morrow. And we will get the answer every Thursday at 12:30. Thank you so much for being with us.